Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, I'm super thrilled to kick off this discussion with Jay Bear. Hi, Jay. How are you?
How's it going, Greg? Nice to be here.
Super happy, super thrilled. I am really keen to kick off this discussion and learn a lot from you, from your experiences. You wrote 7 books. You're a keynote speaker. You are known everywhere and you accepted my invitation. And also in advance, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a cool show.
Great. Thank you very much. As usual, I start to introduce today's top player. Jay, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. It's Jay Bear. As mentioned, I'm an author, a speaker, customer experience and business growth advisor. I've been working in the category for about 30 years. Have worked with hundreds and hundreds of different brands all around the world on making better customer experiences. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. And to learn a bit more about you, which values drive you in life?
Well, I wrote a book about this years ago called Utility. And essentially, I just try to be as useful and helpful as possible, right? I mean, that sounds very, very obvious and simple, but that's really kind of how I think about things is like, okay, where can I add value? And if you do that enough times in a row, eventually good things will happen. You know, so if you just keep adding value and you're helpful and you're useful every time, eventually people will notice that and good things will occur. So that's what I really try to focus on is just value.
Thank you. Stupid question. Is tequila a value or not?
Well, so yeah, actually. So that's my side job. I'm a tequila content creator, tequila educator and influencer. I've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers in social media about my tequila accounts. And in fact, I get recognized on airplanes all the time now from people who watch my tequila videos. Nobody cares that I've written 7 books. They don't care about that at all. But you make some tequila videos, everybody's really excited. But it's exactly the same. So I used to have a podcast about social media and I did, you know, 500 episodes and I've written all the books and I've written 2,500 blog posts and all this other stuff. And tequila is the same way. It's just shorter, right? It's 60-second videos, but it's let me teach you something you didn't know about tequila. And so we're just creating value there. And that's what people say all the time when I get comments from fans on the tequila channel. They're like, oh, I, you know, you've taught me so many things and now I drink different tequila and I buy different tequila. You know, it's, as I said in that book years ago, helping beats selling.
Oh, that's true. And you said perhaps people don't care about your books. I care about them.
Thank you very much. At least one of your books, Your Haters.
And I know that you have also the latest book. Perhaps can you share a few words on that?
This is the little one. The Time to Win is my new book. Just came out. It's all about speed and the power of responsiveness in business and customer experience. It's a very short book because I was going to write a full book like Hug Your Haters or Talk Triggers or some of my other books. And I started to write it and I was like, wait a second, I can't ask people to spend 5 or 6 hours reading a business book that's all about speed. Like it doesn't make any sense. It's like, that's crazy. So I wrote a very short book that you can read in under an hour and it just makes a lot more sense. And people actually really like it because it's short, it's inexpensive, obviously, and you can, you know, put it in your shirt pocket or whatever. So
thank you very much. And now really kick off this discussion, this game together with you. Could you please share a particularly disappointing company interaction and the lesson that business can and should learn from it?
Sure. So during the pandemic, I bought a couch online. And it was one of those things where you could pick out your fabric and your shape and the color of the legs and the whole deal. And they told me that it was going to take 8 weeks. And I thought, well, that's a long time, but you know, you're building a whole sofa from scratch. Like, okay, yeah, I understand. Well, on week 15, I still did not have it and I hadn't heard anything. And I was like, should I cancel this credit card statement? Like I was So I tried to call him and email him and live chat and the whole thing. I couldn't get a hold of anybody. And so finally, after a bunch of different attempts, I finally got a hold of a woman, Genevieve, and she said, oh, Mr. Bear, yeah. Well, it's been taking at least 16 weeks to make custom sofas. And I said, oh, well, how long has that been the case? And she said, about a year and a half. And I said, what I think is an obvious question, so tell me, Genevieve, why does it still say 8 weeks on your website? And she said, we don't want people to stop placing orders. That was not a great experience because we all know in business that you're supposed to under-promise and then over-deliver. And this company is doing the exact opposite. And I don't think that is the appropriate way to go. And in the past, I talk about this a lot in this book, in the past, you could probably mislead your customers a little bit around speed and responsiveness because, oh yeah, they told me 2 weeks and it was going to be three. Like people were like, eh, close enough, but not anymore. We care about time more than ever. And so if you're going to mislead customers about something, the one thing you should not mislead them about is time, because it makes them mad now in a way it didn't make them mad before. So that was a lesson from that one.
Very, very interesting. And linking back to what you said, 60 seconds tequila shots. Yeah. This is what people are expecting.
I never thought I'd be making videos that are 57 seconds long, right? When I used to do hour-long podcasts. It's just like, okay, that's what people want now.
And with much more preparation for the 25 seconds than for the 1 hour.
It's hard. It's hard to do it that short. It really is. Yep.
No, that's true. Thank you very much for this experience. Did you receive the couch then?
Yeah, it's upstairs. I got no problem with the couch. It was fine. It's just, you know, when you tell me 8 and it takes 16, that's a problem. Especially when I have no place to sit for an extra 2 months.
Bad brand promise. Yeah. And perhaps now go on the other side. Perhaps you have one customer service experience or work customer experience, experience that left very positive impression to you and why.
I fly all the time because I travel every week to give speeches. And this is like a couple years ago, probably 3 years ago now. I was going to Australia and my wife was with me and we were in Los Angeles, going from Los Angeles to Brisbane, which is a very long flight. And we were getting on the plane and the gate agent scans my boarding pass, boop, and kind of looks in the black box there they have by the gate, that little kind of touchscreen thing. And I don't know what's in there exactly, but I think it tells them your name and your seat number, that I know. And then I think it says what your mileage, kind of your status is with the airline, because she scanned, boop. So, oh, Mr. Bear, thank you for your loyalty with us here at Delta. We appreciate your Diamond Medallion status. Have a nice flight. And that was nice to hear, but I fly so much. Like I hear some version of that story quite a bit. But then she scans my wife's boarding pass, boop, and looks in that little black box and I presume realizes that my wife does not have very many frequent flyer miles on the airline, because she says, oh, Mrs. Bear, I'd like to thank you for what you must be doing at home to allow Mr. Bear to spend so much time with us here at Delta. So in particular, ma'am, we hope you have a spectacular flight. And that was incredible. Like, had never heard anything like that. Talk about a lasting positive impression. We still talk about that story, she and I, all the time, because it wasn't a script, right? It was just a moment of true kind of human empathy. And those often have the greatest customer impressions.
Oh, and I think what it's really important, it's you were extremely happy and it doesn't cost so much, because they were only words spent at the right point in time.
Absolutely.
Not a big upgrade or a special dinner or a concierge
service. No, it wasn't even a free glass of wine. It cost them literally nothing. And that's the amazing part.
It's really incredible. And sometimes bad thing happens, but there is time also to fix them.
Yeah.
Did you have an experience where it started not so good and then moved into a good experience that you can remember, and perhaps also sharing your experience and your learnings from that?
I've had a few, but I think the story I'll tell you is actually from one of my books. It's actually from Hug Your Haters. And it's this business, Fresh Brothers Pizza, which is based in Los Angeles as well. And their owner, Debbie Goldberg, is amazing. She answers, at least at the time I wrote the book, they've gotten bigger. So this is probably not still true. But at that point, she would answer every customer review herself, which is amazing. And putting that personal touch on reviews responses is always a best practice. But if somebody gave them like a 1-star review or even a 2-star review on Google or TripAdvisor or Yelp or any of those kind of restaurant review websites, she would respond to them and say, oh, terribly sorry about your experience. This is not how we like to run our restaurant. We really want to make this up to you. If I send you a $5 gift card, would you come back and give us another try? And I just think that is such a smart way to handle negativity, and almost nobody does it. Like, so often when we have negative customer experiences from a business perspective, we're like, well, we screwed that one up. We're just going to have to write that customer off, right? We never think about trying to regain that customer's loyalty through a move like that. And it's a missed opportunity, because one of the most fascinating pieces of social science research that have ever been conducted shows that a customer who has a problem that you successfully solve is more loyal and makes more purchases than a customer who never had a problem at all. So sometimes your best customers are the ones who were mad at you and then you fixed it. So it's an opportunity, not a problem.
And I think what you're saying, it's really key, because the first time that I heard about this paradox, it was from a presentation from a butler that she shared her experience about doing this stuff. And she said, if you can fix something and the customer is happy again, then you have a fan for life. And this is what you are sharing. It's really incredible. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
We spoke about your personal experiences. You travel a lot, Delta and so on. From my point of view, one key topic in customer experience and in business is the role of the team. How do you build a team that consistently deliver high quality customer service, and which principle guide you?
I think part of it is defining what high quality customer service is in that organization. Like, so often I think managers and leaders don't give their teams enough detail in terms of what their expectations are. Because to tell somebody, hey, provide good customer service, well, no one's going to like argue that. No one's like, no, we want to provide bad customer service. Like, you know, so everybody's like, okay, but if you don't actually say, well, what does that mean? Is it a certain net promoter score? Is it churn reduction from a customer standpoint? Is it using customer effort score surveys? Like, what exactly are we using to measure quote unquote good customer service? And I think the team's got to be aligned around a certain set of metrics, because those metrics will then create a certain set of behaviors. So that's one thing, is actually putting some specificity around what it is that you're trying to accomplish. But then, most importantly, giving the team the ability to make the appropriate choices. So for example, many companies say that they want to deliver excellent customer service. However, many companies then say that what matters most is how many calls a customer service agent can handle in a given hour. Well, if you're saying we want to have really good customer service, but we want you to handle phone calls as fast as possible, those two things don't work together, right? So which is it? Is it service or is it speed? And so those kind of things, I think, cause a lot of problems for teams, because they're actually being told one thing. But when it comes down to, all right, if you really want to make this customer happy, I'm going to have to be on the phone with her for 19 minutes. Are you okay with that? And a lot of times the answer is, well, actually, no. Then it's like, well, then how committed to great customer service really are we? And then the third thing I will say is especially now with AI, the temptation is often to try and build a lot of consistency in your customer service and have a lot of scripting and a lot of, okay, this is exactly how we say this. And it just becomes very rote and routine and programmed. And I understand why people want consistency, but consistency is usually the enemy of empathy. The Delta story doesn't happen. It never happens if that gate agent is trained to only say these exact things in these particular circumstances, right? You've got to give your people room to create empathetic moments. And some organizations are just really bad at that.
I have a lot of questions about what you said to deep dive. And one thing it's particularly interesting for me, you are consulting, advising a lot of companies. And also in my personal experience, I am responsible for the digitalization in an hospital. One project is to standardize stuff. One project is to personalize experiences. One project is to do this and that.
Isn't that great? We got to standardize and personalize.
Exactly. These are not convergent targets. Which advices do you give to me to ask to my audience how to align this vision, this mission?
Yeah. Well, the problem is if you say let's standardize or you say let's personalize, I think the next logical question is, well, no one's going to pay the hospital or not pay the hospital or whatever because it's standardized or personalized. What's the actual goal here? Right? We're standardizing for what? To make it better for the customer or to save us money? Like, what's the actual outcome? And then we're personalizing for what? We're personalizing because the customers will like it more. Okay, well, what's the actual business level outcome of that? So I think a lot of times we have an objective like personalization or standardization without actually talking about the real business goal. Because, okay, why are we personalizing? And have we all agreed that that's a good thing? It probably is. But until you really focus on like the core, then it's really hard to meld those two things together. So I think that's the question I always ask, and clients get annoyed by it all the time, is they'll say something like that. Well, what we need to do is provide a more personalized experience to clients. And I would say, why do you think that's good? Right? And until you can like fully defend that over and over and over, and I always keep asking them, why do you think that's good? What makes you think that's a good approach? And when you force people to really think about it all the way to the bottom, then you start to realize like, oh, maybe we're just saying standardization just because we think it's the thing to do.
I think what you're saying, really understanding the business outcome is key. At the beginning of your answer related to this topic, you also spoke about the role of the manager, of the leaders providing guidance, how to define, for example, a good customer experience or excellent customer experience. What key leadership qualities do you believe drive exceptional customer experience? And perhaps do you have also a good example to share?
Well, it's a challenge now. I think it's one of the hardest jobs in business over the next 18 months is customer service leader, because customer expectations are going to continue to skyrocket, and you're going to have to somehow make the transition from a fully human or mostly human customer service deployment to at least partially AI, if not significantly AI driven. And guiding that transition is going to be fraught with challenges and difficulties. It's a really hard job. It's always been a hard job, but I think over the next 18 months, it's going to be an exceptionally difficult assignment in every company. I think what you need most as a quality, though, is curiosity, is to say, okay, yes, this is how we used to do it, but how could we do it now? Like, what processes could we change? What people could we change? What technology could we adopt? What is possible? And lack of curiosity, I think, will be a huge detriment to anybody in this category going forward, because everything that you think is true is no longer true, right? Like, I mean, I've seen some demos of technology, of AI-driven, you know, customer service agents that will just blow your mind. And so unless you are inherently curious about what's possible, I think it's going to be a real challenge.
Thank you very much. I would have a lot of additional questions, but taking care of your time, we're coming to an end. In the extra time of this game, I still have three questions for you.
Okay, I'm ready. Extra time.
4 minutes. Fast forward 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we're discussing about?
Man, it 10 years is a long time right now, just in terms of like the rate of change, the pace of change. We'll probably be, okay, so similar to my previous question, we'll probably be talking about, can all of your managers be robots? right? Like, do we actually need human managers, or do we only need human directors or vice presidents? Like, we'll probably be talking about something like that.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Then please let me ask, how would you then align robots with empathy and all the problems that normal employees have?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I've been thinking about it a lot because I'm working on a speech about this. So most people, including me, historically say, all right, efficiency and empathy don't work together, right? So a robot or AI or some kind of non-human interface is going to be at an empathy deficit. Well, here's the thing, though. Some of these demos I've seen that actually are built to listen to your tone of voice and listen to your pausing and the words you use, and then deliver back to you an optimally empathetic response, these AI tools are actually more empathetic than humans because they never get frustrated. They never get annoyed, right? They never get tired. They never get cranky. They're never hungover. You know, they're never distracted, right? They're just built to be maximally empathetic. And so I used to always think the same thing, like, well, robots can't be good at empathy. And I have changed my mind a lot about that just in the last, like, literally in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. I was like, holy cow, I can't believe what's possible now. So we'll see.
Thank you. And if people would like to contact the human Jay Bear, what's the best way to contact you?
Yeah, for now, until the robot replaces me, it's jaybear.com, jaybear.com. And then you can find me all over social media, all the different places. And then for tequila, it's Tequila Jay Bear. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, whatever.
Thank you very much. And to the audience, you will find, as usual, all the information in the show notes. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Jay's golden nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
So I told you I've been working on this new project around AI, and obviously AI is going to have huge implications for CX. But here's the mistake everybody's making. They're like, okay, we need more AI. Let's get more AI so we can do things faster. We can save money, be more efficient, maybe be more empathetic, whatever. Here's the part that people don't talk about. If you don't have the data in your company, like fully aligned and organized, AI is not going to help you very much. Because AI has to use something to create the magic. And people are like, give me the AI. And then you're like, okay, they buy some AI software, but their data is crap. And so then it doesn't work. So people are actually doing this in the wrong order. What you've got to work on is how can we get our data very well organized and very clean and very accessible? Then once you've got your data problem solved, then figure out what AI you can use to improve customer experiences. But it has to be in that sequence. And a lot of people aren't doing it in that sequence right now.
Jay, thank you very much for your time. It was a great pleasure to have you on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Thank you.
I thought we were going to go to kicks. I thought we were going to penalty kicks at the end. No, it's not. It's not extra time. That's it. Oh, man. Okay, next time.
You won 3-0, and therefore you don't <I've>...
A shutout. Clean sheet for Jay Bear. Woo!
Exactly.
Thank you.
And to the audience, we love feedback. I am sure it will be a goal, yes, for Jay Bear. It was a great discussion. We love feedback. Please let us know. Contact directly Jay Bear for any questions. Have a look at his books. Great books. Thank you very much. And see you next time. Bye-bye. Please, Jay, stay with me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it. Share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.